Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So, again, another beautiful comparison there is that the best players in the world, the difference is they play the big points better than the rest. That's
a nice metaphor.
And basically, because I think the goal for most of us is to be the best versions of ourselves. It's so, like you said, to be that in the right moments of our life, just like in the right moments of the match.
And you want your mind to be there with you. Yes. You don't want, because the unconscious mind, it's many times it behaves unexpectedly. And you need to somehow engage with that part of yourself throughout the year, so you have that part of your mind on your side in the important points or in the important match. Of course, sometimes it's other things, you know, if you are physically well and so on. But a huge part of it is also the mind. I mean, let's just not overvalue the mind here as well to have a balanced polarities. But a lot of times, I think it's important to have your mind there with you, not to do something unexpected, you know, not to overreact to something, because a lot of times what I see in tennis that players get carried away in a moment through something that happens, and then they stop being here and now, and you can see like several, you know, points later they are still in that moment that was like 5 minutes ago, and this is when the mind is betraying you. Because you would ideally want your mind to be there with you and focusing on that moment and doing physically and playing wise and mentally wise, you want them to be one team at the new point and not, you know, 5 minutes later when so you got angry that you didn't play the best shot.
So talking about being in that point and here and now, how much meditation has the importance here?
I love meditation. I personally meditate for more than 12 years or so. But also meditation can be a one-sided story. So I think meditation is number one thing, how to focus on here and now, if we do the meditation correctly. Because sometimes a lot of people confuse meditation with relaxation. And they, you know, meditate, but they put music on, and it's more of a relaxation. But when you neurologically do it right, then it's about focusing on here and now, on your breathing, and you know, if you get a thought, you acknowledge it and you send it away and so on. So if it's done how it should be, then it's a wonderful thing for here and now. But it's not magic pill, or it's not a substitute. For some people, it can serve as escape from reality, or just something as a positive thinking. And that's again, one-sidedness. So, I mean, we should not overvalue it. It's not a magic pill, but it's important. Scientifically, it's proven that it works. You know, there are many great pieces of research that talk about it. So, I mean, meditation in the world of sport, in the world of business, it's a wonderful tool. But, you know, it's like with some spiritual practices or yoga and so on, it can be an escape from here and now, an escape from reality. Also, in terms of positive thinking, it's a great tool, but it's just one part of the coin, and we should also be friends with that part, with the negative part, and embrace that, and find the gift in the aggression, in the arrogance, in the stupidity, and everything. So, I mean, and the same goes with meditation. Too much of a good thing can serve as avoidance of what we need to deal with, for example.
Dana, one of the other emotions I need to discuss with you is, I think most of the players are like that, because on the court, it's kind of, you know, no one's going to play the match for you. You have to be the leader. You have to have that kind of a strong, you know, decision making. How do you balance that between having that strong mind? Okay, right, this is what I'm going to do. This is my game plan. This is my tactic. At the same time, not having that stubbornness where you need to be open to your team, to the people around you, to be able to learn and willing to improve and let that goal-oriented in mind to kind of relax and listen to what people are telling you around.
I think it goes to the same point, and I think emotions are one of the most important topics in terms of healthy mental health mindset, in terms of, I mean, life in general, but in terms of professional sports and tennis. I think emotions are something that really, it's like another energy or power that have within you that can be utilized. No, because you have the physical strengths, but emotions are chemicals in a way. Emotions are something that's also physical, because you know, it's hormones, neurotransmitters, and so on. And you know, emotions are released, or the response of the body, it's to something external. You have a specific trigger, and you know, the emotion is our reaction. And you know, it's actually, you know, in neuroscience, we divide emotions and then feelings. And emotions is that body part or the physical part where it takes like 1/4 of a second for us to identify the trigger, and then 1/4 of a second to produce the chemicals. And then the whole chemical reaction, it only lasts about 6 seconds actually. So I think this is a wonderful thing to keep in mind, that emotions in terms of our body, how we'll build, you know, how we develop through evolution, the physical part, when the hormones and neurotransmitters, it's just 6 seconds. Science called feelings. And this is how our mind, how we integrate it and how we think about it. No? So this is maybe something that's interesting, that emotions, they have a feeling part. I mean, they have the part that's the physical, when the physical reaction comes, and then we have the emotions, or I mean, that second part that we call the feeling, and that's our interpretation. What do you say about it? Does that make sense, or wow, are you with me?
So,
and this is in terms of the us, me as a person, what I do at work, or in terms of business, or in terms of tennis player, it's good to know that, okay, we have power over it, because once it's the physical reaction that's actually here to navigate us, no? Because it's how we judge things, how we value things, you know, we need, this is dangerous, you know, we feel fear, that's helping us, you know, not to do something and so on. So that's like a compass, and then it's another part, what we make out of it, no?
So basically, our feelings is the description of the emotions.
Yeah, it's what we attribute to it.
Yes.
And that's the problem, in a way. because and it's a problem when we're stopping it too early or too much, because the body needs that reaction. It's like a muscle, you know, you have sore muscles after training, they need to recover. It's a chemical reaction and so on. So, you know, it's physical, and we need those 6 seconds. So, you know, the body reaction goes through. And then, of course, we are starting to think and we attribute it. And it's interesting because the word feel, we use it like I feel cold in terms of physical, when I feel cold because it's winter and my body is cold. But I can say I feel cold because the other person is not friendly to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the judgment, and it's our thinking about things. And we talk about feeling in terms of mind, but in terms of body as well. And this is something that can be worked on in terms of my awareness. That, of course, okay, I need those emotions to go through. What's a great tool for anyone and for tennis players as well, to release a part of the brain that's always switched on when we feel emotions, to name it in a personal way, in the first language, like I feel angry, I feel annoyed, I feel sad, I feel irritated, I feel excited. It's good because then it comes from the part of the brain that is like so-called simply emotional brain, to the first, the front part of the brain that's more about cognitive function, and then it loses the power. Not, it loses the destructive power of the emotion. So when you name the emotion for yourself, you are somehow on the right track of you know, going through the right, I mean, simply put, right chemical reaction and the after reaction of the judging mind. That does it make sense? Because then I say like, oh, I'm not angry. Then it never switches off that part of the brain responsible for the emotions. So it's better to say, okay, I am angry, I am sad, I'm annoyed, and leave it at that and move on. Okay, it's easier said than done, but this is just the first step, because a lot of people want to switch to the positive. Like, I'm not angry, I'm calm. But before you switch to the I'm calm, when you make a mistake on court and you play the worst point that you really don't like, you first need to say, I'm so angry, and then you have to say, I'm calm. If you skip that part, it carries on with you and makes you more problematic.
And so you say, I'm so angry, and stick with it for those 6 seconds. If you don't, it's going to stay in the back of your mind. Like we could say, it's still in the back of my mind. It's literally physically there.
Yeah, it will not be in front of your, in the front of your mind where you can catch it or work with it. No, because the conscious part of the brain, very, very simply put it now, in terms of neuroscience, is the prefrontal cortex, the front of your mind where the thinking is. And you want to have, because once it's in the unconscious, very simply put, the unconscious part of the brain is the emotional that we, you know, inherited from, that we have similar with some kind of animals, blah, blah, blah. That I don't want to go too much into science, but you need to have it in your hands. You don't want the animal instinct to, you know, deal with your life. You want that animal instinct for the strong shot. You don't want it for keeping you in anger. No, it's not that animal instinct is wrong. You just need to have it in the serve, not in your thinking in terms of a tennis match.
In a very basic, simple way to put it, you need to get it from here in front of, so behind your head. It's like, if you have to play a ball that's behind you, you're not going to be able to make the shot. Once you have it in front of you, once you say, I'm angry, you're basically moving that emotion in front of you so you can actually name it and see it, and then you can work with it. Just like if you're playing a match and you want to see the ball in front of you, if it's behind you, the chances are that you're not going to make a good shot.
Yeah. Very, very simply, but I think it's a wonderful metaphor. And what's important, we need to acknowledge it in the first person tense. I cannot say like it. How to say like
it? It made me angry. No, I am angry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you say it made me, at least there's the me. But the best way it's because we should not talk about it as a thing, you know, like.
So basically, not to say
that ball. You know, that ball did this to me. No.
Yeah. Or we. This is an angry situation. That's not gonna help.
Exactly. This is what I want to say. I cannot say like this is an angry situation. I have to say I am angry because this and this is going on. No.
Now, what happens when we, as tennis players, we do have the tendency, as you know, we take it to the next level and we call ourselves different names. And that is very much in first person. What happens then? And it's more than for 6 seconds. How do you get out of that during a match?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great example. And and it's something that really needs to be worked on before the match in a way, because... I mean, it can help in the short run sometimes, you know, we all seen it, you know, even like, you know, approach, which is trick and which punishes and criticizes, it can work, you know, you've seen it in the world of tennis, you know, some coaches or hopefully more in the past than now, were really strict and were really criticizing and the negative motivation. And it works to a certain extent for a short period of time, but when you take all your life, which is afterwards won't be only tennis, it can, you know, really cause some difficulties in a way, because when you call yourself names, if it doesn't matter if you consciously know it or realize it or want it, it takes away your inner strength, it takes away your self-confidence, it takes away your value and so on. So even if it's like a joke and it's funny and, you know, it helps us, you know, fight harder, deep inside, in the long run, we are putting ourselves down and, you know, our self-confidence and our inner strength, you know, it is diminishing. So ideally, and this should be a part where the either a psychologist or a mental health coach or anyone that's helping a player with the mind should help them work on that. I mean, it's better to say, okay, I'm angry, but then stop there and maybe have other possibilities how to, in a first person communication, how to get it out. But ideally, we should not motivate ourselves through negative motivation, which is putting ourselves down. I mean, it works to a certain extent, but, you know, throughout your whole life, and then you want to do something else, you want to have relationships, you will have children, and you don't want to have some wounds that you did to yourself.
Sure.
But I mean, if it happens, you don't punish yourself that you did it, you know? Of course, it's okay when it happens, and it's okay. We're not robots, we're normal people. And I mean, I even personally do it sometimes to myself when I do something I don't like. But I try to minimize it, or I try to use that part, or no, the how would we call that, that quality or behavior, the strictness to myself. I rather put it to not eating in the evening or something like that, or to, you know, I rather be strict to myself in the moments where it's beneficial for me, and not strict that I criticize myself, or I do the criticism towards myself somewhere else, which is where it's constructive, but I don't want to, you know, criticize myself too much, for example, during a match where it's controversial, whether it helps or not. It might, of course, and it's okay every once in a while, but it should not be the only way we motivate ourselves in the during the match on the court.
Yeah. Dani, I feel like we could talk for hours like this, but I don't want to get you going before just hearing quickly your opinion on the latest and what we've been here discussing the last couple of days. And that is, how do you feel about this whole, you know, doing press, not doing press, how to deal with the media and everything that Naomi kind of, you know, said 2 days, 3 days ago, whenever that was. What's your opinion and take on that?
Like, I don't want to repeat myself. It seems to me I'm always talking about the balance in every other sentence. But in a way, well, first of all, to me, because I work in the field of mental health as a coach, I mean, for me, it's a wonderful that the topic is on the table. So, I mean, I fully respect her and acknowledge her for bringing it out. But to me, working with diverse people, not only sports, it's, you know, each job, and we call it professional tennis, each job has things or activities we like and activities we don't like, you know? And to me, as many other players said, I see it as a part of the challenge of the job to deal with the media. We can discuss what form it should have, how it should look, but I mean, as of today, it's something that's important part that needs to be done because it helps the players in the whole system and so on. It's the same as in business. And of course, you can open a discussion about moving things in another direction. But me personally, I prefer that it's done one-on-one and on a different level or another platform, just as social media. But I mean, for me, of course, we are learning. And, you know, I was once 21 years old and then I had my difficulties in terms of my job. But I was a corporate manager back then. Only starting in the world I knew nothing about, and there were all these people that were in there for many years, and I needed to learn how to communicate with them and how to deal with it. So I think it's a process, and each of us has a different process, and we are trying and doing things, and it's okay, you know. We should not be harsh. I think it's great. It opened a discussion, and I think there are. We could talk about this for a long time, and I think all of it was almost said by now, that it's great to have the debate. And I think for me personally, the mental health is important topic in general, not in sports, but we still have, I mean, it's a free choice of each athlete. I'm choosing my job. I switch careers at some point. You choose your job, which is perhaps more difficult because it's about talent and passion, but it's still called professional tennis and it's job. And each job has challenges, and we can have different sort of mental health challenges that goes within it. And we should work our way, and we should get help, and we should talk about it. And I think that part is wonderful.
Dani, thank you so much for your time. You know how special this is for me to be able to listen to you like this on a, I would say, the most professional level I could possibly ask. And I just hope that this is not the last time we are talking like this, and that I know how super busy you are, that you will find the time to join us another occasion of the Real DNA podcast. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I hope it's helpful, because to me it's so natural. So I talk about it naturally, but I try to make it as simple as possible to be useful, to first of all, to be useful. Because one thing is, to talk about science and theory in terms of psychology, but I think the practice in terms of our everyday life, that's something that's important. So,
well, I'm sure all the listeners will find this very, very useful.
Okay, thank you so much, Dani.
Hi there! I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of the Real DNA podcast. Don't forget to subscribe either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.